The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce here. If you missed any of the first hour, you can download that. The Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also jump over on the YouTube page, youtube.com/1051thefan. If you missed the sunrise, guys, this morning, you can check it out there or the Odyssey app. That includes prime time this afternoon as well, wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app. Fast forward, rewind. Except for in the future, that'd be impossible. A lot to get to this hour. We will spend a little bit of time in college football as the portal is open. And boy, there's a lot of traction going on in there, especially if you're competing for a national title.
Some teams are busy, and even despite trying to compete for a national title, they're doing just fine, Ryan Day.
No excuses. I'm looking at you, Ryan Day. Also, we'll talk about that little weird situation for Ole Miss as we lead up to the college football playoff. A reminder, the Ducks are in the Peach Bowl and the Fan is hitting the road with a watch party at Thirsty Lions Washington Square location. Dirt and Anthony Newman get things started with Ducks pregame presented by Coors Light on location at noon. Join the Fan Friday, January 9th at the Thirsty Lions Washington Square location for the rematch of Oregon and Indiana in the college football playoff semifinals with a natty appearance on the line. Our show will be superseded by that. We're only 2 hours on Friday for a little update on the schedule for you. Also, we'll have web gems this hour, but we'll stick in the NFL here for a moment as we start a series this week looking into each team in the playoffs. Instead of kind of looking at matchups, just how they got here, what moves they've made, what their future looks like, how far they could go, and maybe what the future of next season's look like. Our first team on that, Danny, is the Carolina Panthers. I think the Panthers are the best way to start this kind of experiment we have going on this week because, look, they're the team that nobody gives a chance to. They're the under 500 team in the playoffs. They're the laughing stock of the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera.
What's funny is they opened their season 1-3. They closed their season 1-3, and they made the playoffs.
Well, that's something I was going to say, a very interesting on kind of how we got here from the Carolina Panthers. They only won two games in a row once.
Mm-hmm.
It was three games in a row against the Dolphins, Cowboys, and Jets.
Which,
thank you for coming. They also only lost two games in a row twice. The first two games and the last two games.
And they do have some quality wins.
Very much so.
They beat the Rams. They beat the Bucks. They, you know, and then obviously the last game of the season, they play the Bucks super tight. But, you know, they also got the living crap kicked out of them by the Jaguars and the Patriots. And the Bills.
And the Niners.
Like, you just got to go on the list.
They lost 17-7 against the Saints.
Yo.
That was Tyler Shuck's Saints, though.
Mm.
Our guy, Tyler Shuck.
Rookie of the year, Tyler Shuck.
There you go, baby. But
Texas Tech legend, Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, it's... They're baseline talent. Like, I'll use my Raiders as an example. The baseline talent between the Panthers and the Raiders is a chasm.
Giant.
It's... But the top-end talent for the Panthers is not there.
Agreed.
Now, there is a dude in Charles Johnson.
Mm-hmm. That dude is a dude.
Ugh, good God.
And I've really enjoyed Rico this year.
Very solid player.
Very good player.
But beyond that, and, you know, Ted McMillan can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's see what he continues to do throughout his career. Turns out being 6'5" and 230 pounds and having a catch radius, you know, of an orangutan, super helpful, but, you know, they're still missing some stuff.
I think this team started, you know, this is one of those teams with bad ownership.
Tepper's.
This is one of the teams with bad ownership. However, you know, the Dave Canales hire was nice.
The guy giving out middle fingers from the owner's box is not a good owner.
Not only that, didn't he throw a drink on somebody a couple years ago?
He did.
There was that too.
I think this all starts with Dave Canales, that hire right there, riding the ship. You know, the Frank Reich experiment was not great. Fill in the blank of everyone that was informed. The Matt Rhule experiment did not work out. Again, some of that is ownership. Some of that is bad GM play. But I think the hiring of Dave Canales changes your culture. That kind of fixes that. And I'll tell you what. You know who is not the worst quarterback in the NFL right now? That's Bryce Young. Okay, We were laughing before the show. Would you rather have Bryce Young or Tyler Shuck? I'd rather have Tyler Shuck.
Long term, if you're asking me who I would want to go with, look.
I am not a Bryce Young guy. Neither are you. No. Neither of us have ever been.
Look, this is his, you know, quote unquote, best year, and he just cracked 3,000 yards.
I understand that. But this guy, Canales, has saved Bryce Young from being a full-on bust.
I think it's similar to, in a sense, to Baker.
Sure. And he had Baker.
And getting
Baker in Tampa.
Getting to Tampa. Like, there, you do have to give Canales that credit. He seems to be, you know, quarterback whispery.
And then some love to the GM as well. Tershawn Wharton, Trayvon Mooring. Mm-hmm. Like, this defense is nice. I've been trying to talk about this defense all year, and I get it. It's hard to get behind Carolina.
There's no A-listers.
There really
is. Well, that's not true. Charles Johnson. A-lister.
But they're...
Nick Scott, very good, hard-hitting run support safety.
But this team has a unit defensively. It's hard to buy defensive units when your offense is that bad. You know, we're talking about Sam Darnold having Sam Darnold games. You know, Houston struggled with C.J. Stroud out and at times with C.J. Stroud in. But the jump Bryce Young has made, still not an awesome quarterback, but he is not the worst in the league. And I would say he's not even bottom five.
Do we want to talk about that offense?
Geno Smith, J.J. McCarthy, Justin Fields. I'd take Bryce.
Yeah.
I'd take Bryce. Kyler Murray? Jacoby Brissett?
I'd take a shot at
Young, though.
Yeah, for sure. Also,
we know more about what Kyler Murray is than we know what Bryce Young is.
Yeah, agreed. Like, and that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, Bryce Young, I don't think is going to be some amazing player.
But he's also not going to be the headache either.
Exactly.
So also, I didn't throw J.C. Horn in there. I don't know why I didn't do that.
J.C. Horn.
J.C. Horn, very good. You just don't throw at him. But, like, you take a look at this Panthers team. There's not a pass rusher on this team that you are remotely afraid of. Like, their leading sack guy had 5 sacks.
You're not even really familiar with
No, you're just like, who? J.C. Horn, very good. Like, so they've got a stud corner. They've got a stud interior defensive lineman. And then, you know, you've got playmakers. Roseboom, you know, jumps under the Baker throw and gets Carolina basically on the board this weekend. Like, they've got some guys that... I just keep coming back to this. Carolina's baseline is good, but they probably have the tightest window of floor to ceiling. Their floor,
oh, yes.
Like, their ceiling is like, there's almost no gap between the two.
No, they are who we think they are.
Very much so. Now, can they also have the Patriots ring up 42 points on them? Yeah. Yeah, they can. Because they don't have... The
point differential shows that.
Yeah. Like, when the thing is, when they've gotten beaten. You know what I mean? Bad. Like, it's been like, ooh.
Well, like, I put this on the show doc earlier with they listed the point differentials for the 2025 playoff teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Seahawks lead the way, plus 191. Not a big surprise there, right? You go down to plus 172 next is the Rams, plus 170, New England Patriots. You got to go down to plus 138 next for Jacksonville, then plus 116 for Buffalo, plus 109 Houston, plus 90 Denver, plus 66 San Francisco, plus 54 Philly, plus 31 Green Bay, 28 Chargers, 26 Bears, plus 10 the Steelers.
Think about that for a second. The Steelers and what we think of them
They
were a positive point, and their defense hasn't been great this year.
Fair.
They were a plus 10.
So we get down now to the Carolina Panthers, they're 8-9 on the season. 8-9 on the season.
Mm-hmm.
One game under 500.
Yep.
Minus 69.
And also to add on top of that, coming in on the fan text
hashtag
line.
Keep pounding.
503-864.
Which is actually their legitimate, that's actually their hashtag.
6326.
I'm not just trying to be cute.
Where did this go? Their run defense was so bad that every team who played them last year ran the ball with the same efficiency on average as Saquon Barkley did last year.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bad defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making everybody look like Saquon Barkley.
We just keep seeing Saquon every week.
Everyone.
And again, it's not just like Saquon Barkley career. It's Saquon Barkley's best year and one of the best running back seasons we've ever seen.
I'd have to go back and look and see if Saquon even played the Panthers last year.
Like, oh, God.
And so that's where they shorted up. They shorted up on the defense, and if you keep that defense playing, then you're going to give your offense a chance. Now, the scariest part about the offense is what the same texter, what Jordan texts in right here, is that Bryce Young has only won one game in his career by more than one score. I don't know if that's official. I will give him the benefit of the doubt on that, as he texts in a lot and tends not to be wrong. If that's the case, that's what you're talking about, Danny. The ceiling and the floor is the same. I hate them in this matchup against the Rams. I know they beat them, but Matt Stafford lost that game, okay? Carolina did not win that game. So the concept of Carolina's floor and ceiling being kind of the same, I think that's a very good analogy. Spot on by you.
It's a very, like, it's a razor-thin margin between their floor and their ceiling.
Could they cover the spread against the Rams?
What is it?
Maybe. I have no idea. It could be 2. It could be 22.
Oh, and I have a feeling it's going to be a big number.
I have no idea.
10.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, could they?
You cover it.
Could they cover it? Sure.
What you
could they get blown up?
Is,
sure.
What you forget, though, too, is they're hosting it.
They are, and they beat the Rams. Now,
like 3 weeks ago.
I would say the Rams probably went into that game
with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago.
Yeah,
excuse
but
me.
Whatever.
It's week 13, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
Thanksgiving weekend.
The Rams basically had everything go wrong. And look, everybody's like, well, you know, you're giving them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm giving the team that is that good the benefit of the doubt of they overlooked the Panthers team. It's just not very good, as we've said. They minus 69 point differential. They finished with a negative win-loss record. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not very good, and they should. In all reality, this is what I hate about the seeding. They should have the bottom seed. Like the whole division thing is like it's irritating when a team like this, and now the Rams have a cleaner path to getting, you know, beyond it. Like
sure,
they deserve it in a sense because they're probably the second best team in the NFC.
Well, yeah, if the Rams win this game, which we expect them to, and let's say the Niners beat the Eagles, mm-hmm. the Rams avoid the Seahawks.
Yeah.
If you want the Seahawks, I want the Super Bowl on the line.
I guess that's the benefit.
I don't
want to
go home early. I want the Super Bowl on the line if I get the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go home early. The only tough thing I will say, and we'll close up on this with Carolina, when you look at their future, okay, not this season, but like next season and beyond.
Sure.
Because of your record and because you made the playoff, you're teetering in that purgatory.
Well, not only that.
You're not going to have a high pick.
You're
going to have a tougher schedule.
Your schedule's going to be tougher, yeah.
This offseason might be the most important of the middle teams that are contenders, quote unquote. This is going to be a big offseason for Carolina.
You got to find some way to add a dude somewhere.
Somewhere. Whether that's in the draft, which is not going to be a high pick. Mm-hmm. You pray to God that a bunch of quarterbacks get reached and there's some talent left there mm-hmm. near the middle where you're going to be. Or you make a trade. Or you sign some free agents. It's going to be a tough one. That's your Carolina Panthers. We will spend in the Big Nooner. Our other team we will get to is the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll do that at 12:30. But let's slide over to college for a moment as the transfer portal is open and QBs are on the move. If you're a Duck fan, are you a little nervous? If Dante goes, some of the good ones are gone. That's next. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. 105.1 The Fan. You know, I got to give a lot of credit to Brandon Sprague. He's been hammering this, and we're going to address it as well. We come back in 15 minutes. We'll get into the story nobody's really talking about, and that is why the hell are these coaches allowed to recruit for another school and still coach for a different team in the college football playoff? We'll get to the LSU Ole Miss ongoing nauseating debacle and why the NCAA are just a bunch of lamos for not stepping in and figuring this out. But a little bit of college football news. You know, we'll take on the Oregon-Indiana matchup throughout the week as that game is on Friday. You can hear it right here on the Fan. Pre-game coverage starts at noon, take you all the way up to the game and post-game as well. But I wanted to get into a little bit of college football, just kind of quarterback, as the transfer portal opens up. Before we get into these quarterbacks, Danny, you kind of teased this a little bit last hour. Maybe it was the opening segment. I don't remember. You remember when I brought up Ryan Day talking about how difficult it is mm-hmm. to coach in a playoff, coaching for a Natty as he did win one last year, while still recruiting your own players, other players in high school, and the transfer portal? Well, Kurt Cignetti has kind of said, you're an idiot and you can do this. Now, success helps. At the time, I don't know if we knew Ohio State. I don't remember when the portal opened to when we really knew Ohio State was as good as they were. But SIG is showing that this is possible, that this is very doable, as Indiana's transfer portal class looks just fantastic right now.
Yeah.
But I do still will hammer on that I think the transfer portal should not open until we're done. I do firmly believe that.
I don't know where I land on that just yet.
Well, because you're seeing it work and you're seeing it not work. So it's like, well, is this a you problem or is this a me problem? Like,
you look at what SIG has already done, right? They bring in Josh Hoover from TCU.
And we'll get into the other quarterbacks. I love this Hoover pickup.
That's, you know, three straight transfer quarterbacks.
I love this Hoover pickup for them.
Rourke to Mendoza and now to Hoover. And then they went out and got a couple of edge rushers from Kansas State. They got Toby Usansanmi, and then I think they just signed the other one, Obiazor. By the way, Chidi Obiazor, 6'6", 275. And then with Usansanmi, 6'3", 250. What's the thing we talk about with Indiana? Not quite having the size, not quite having the depth, not quite having the – well, go get a couple four-stars out of the portal who have got some seasoning to them already, who are big old boys. Look.
Ready to earn something.
They had recruits on campus, at the Rose Bowl.
You're damn right they did.
And guess what it was? It was a recruiting video. You absolutely slapped the teeth out of Alabama's face. And Sig not only told everybody else, Indiana's here, he looked at these guys that are in the transfer portal that they're taking their visits and stuff like that and going, you want to do this to Alabama? Come here.
And it was the one time, probably the one time Sig said, look at the front of their jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's Alabama. We didn't care it was Alabama, but I know you do.
Do you want to be a part of this?
Boy, I want my kid to be a part of it.
Sig has skyrocketed up the list of, like, if I had a kid or if I was a high school guy, who, like, for me, like, number one in the country is Whittingham.
Like, sure.
Kyle Whittingham is like, if I'm a football player, I want to play for Kyle Whittingham.
I think there's Whittingham, Cignetti. I'd throw Lanning
in there for sure. And I know Chris Ball's not everybody's cup of tea. He's my cup of tea.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I think maybe in the South they view Chris Ball a little differently than I do. I'm sure Kirby's up there as people that, you know, you would want to play for. I'm a softie, so I don't like Mike Norvell. let's get into some of these quarterbacks that are in the transfer portal. I'm looking at a US Today article. They have Sam Levitt ranked number one. His old team is Arizona State. He is not committed anywhere. He's still got 2 years left on his deal. I think there's some NFL prospect in him that a lot of people kind of salivate over. He has left Arizona State in an unceremonious fashion, including not going to the ceremony. He has a do not contact notice on his social media content, which makes me believe he knows where he's going. Levitt's a weird one. Now, by the stats, by the frame, by the body, by the metrics, however you want to look at it, he can be the number one guy. I think you and I sat here for a while, and we both kind of agreed that Sorsby is our guy in the portal if you're looking for a quarterback. And you want to talk about Hoover at Indiana being a great fit? Boy, do I love Brendan Sorsby at Texas Tech.
No,
If Texas Tech had Brendan Sorsby this year,
we're talking about probably Texas Tech.
They might be Tech Indiana right now, and that's no slight to Oregon.
No.
That's how bad Baron Morton was.
The gap between the two is seismic.
Is large. And if Texas Tech can retool that defense, they're going to lose guys to the NFL. If they can retool that defense, or if that defense takes a slight step back, but that offense can take a big jump, huge play for Texas Tech.
And then the other commit we have is Mestemaker, who followed his coach from North Texas to Oklahoma State, which, look.
I love that, too, because Oklahoma State needs something.
Well, not that. The Sorsby one to Tech and Mestemaker to Oklahoma State, those are two of, like, the most prolific air raid offenses that we had when we were growing up or a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what we saw. Like, when we remember Oklahoma State, we remember Whedon and Blackman, like, just throwing the ball all over the place. Like, that, and you remember Texas Tech, whether you just insert quarterback here over a 15-year period, you know, the most prolific passing seasons we've ever seen. So, those all fit, but you've got massive names still out there. You've got DJ Lagway. You've got Dylan Raiola. You've got Deuce Knight. Byron Brown is the reason why Deuce Knight is in the portal. Rocco Becht leaves Iowa State and goes to Penn State.
And Byron Brown has not officially gone to Auburn, but I think we're all expecting him to go to Auburn.
Austin Simmons, who lost his spot
at Ole Miss.
At Ole Miss is to Missouri, which is why you see Bo Prabilla out.
I mean, this list has Aiden Childs at number 11.
Yeah, I mean, and then Bo Prabilla is another guy you could see. We saw Ohio State, the battle between Sayan and Kindholz. Kindholz lost out. He's going to head down to Louisville to replace Miller Moss.
Did you mention Colton Jessup?
No.
Colton Joseph, excuse me.
Yeah.
Had a great offensive year at Old Dominion. Mm-hmm. He's at Wisconsin. They
need
had
somebody.
They had a game where their kicker had more passing yards.
They need
a punter had more passing yards than their quarterback. So they need something. I found it interesting mentioning the three top guys that aren't committed anywhere yet. I'm not counting Byron Brown.
Yeah.
Because I think we all believe he's going to Auburn. Sam Levitt, Dylan Raiola, and DJ Lagway. all three quarterbacks that I have heard through, whether it's speculation or real traction.
NFL quarterbacks.
Could be Oregon quarterbacks should Dante Moore go out. And I find that really fascinating. This is maybe, if you're an Oregon fan, another reason why you would want Dante to come back. I'm taking Dante over all three of these guys. The Raiola experiment scares me. DJ's turnover problems. Mm-hmm. Look, Napier had a rough year at Florida. I think a lot of that falls on Lagway, too. And Levitt's a weird one. Like, I'm into Levitt. I like what Levitt brings to the table. But whatever happened at Arizona State, Kenny Dill...
It's weird.
He is... The way he is, whether it's, you know, take away age, okay? Kenny Dill's no different than a Sig. He's no different than a Lanning in terms of intensity. He's no different than you know, a Kirby or a Dabo. So for him to, like, not be into what Dilly's doing down there, but he's going to go somewhere better... That gives me a little bit of, hesitation. Yeah.
See, and I feel like also Dylan Raiola to me does not feel like a Dan Lanning type of dude. I feel like Dan Lanning is like this. It's
who doesn't?
Dylan Raiola.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Lanning looks at him and is like, this. That's a bit much.
A little too much.
We don't want a guy this loud.
Yeah, too performative. Yeah. You know, the Mahomes garbage, you know, like, and that goes to show.
Is he going to go out there and style himself after Mariota now?
but like, that goes to show, like, if everybody wants to ship, you know, as the kids say, if everybody wants to ship Dylan Raiola and Texas Tech, Texas Tech was like, no thanks, we'll go get the best guy.
Yeah.
And they did. And if Raiola was their guy, they would have got him probably cheaper than Sorsby. The rumor is that Sorsby's girlfriend who plays volleyball, she just transferred to Texas Tech.
Oh, weird.
So that was kind of the writing on the wall. But if they really wanted Raiola, they would have got him cheaper than they did Sorsby and spend that money somewhere else. But they identified Sorsby as their guy. Again, Lagway, Raiola, and Levitt are the three big names left on the board.
Of the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. And obviously there's places like Oregon who don't know what's going to happen. Is Ty Simpson going to leave Alabama? Mm. We don't know that answer yet. So could Miami be in play for one of these guys? So there's teams that are still alive or teams that still have questions at quarterback that could be at play for these guys. But I also wonder if they already would have been, if that would have kind of leaked out. You know, some Miami insider says Cristobal and Raiola have been talking. Or a Duck insider has said Lanning has mentioned he likes Lagway or Levitt or something like that. And maybe that's just good keeping to the vest. I think there's a lot of hesitation on these guys, for me as well.
But you also take a look at the Final Four teams remaining. What do they have at quarterback?
Transfer quarterbacks.
All of them.
And Chambliss shouldn't even be here right now. Should be Simmons in theory. I mean, he obviously earned that, but it should be Simmons.
That's the world we live in now. And it just is what it is.
And it just goes to show, like, getting quarterbacks in the transfer portal, that's the new world.
Yeah.
It's the new world.
You kind of go to prep school somewhere else, and then you find your spot.
And the good thing with quarterbacks, because we know them, like, I don't need to look up that Sorsby went to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Like, we know who the good quarterbacks are. And we know who the high-profile quarterbacks are at places that aren't very good.
Mm-hmm. Because they end up somewhere else.
Exactly. You know, like Sam Levitt, I don't know why you're leaving Arizona State, but I know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Again, like Byron Brown. You know, God, USF to Auburn.
Who's got the best quarterback situation right now? Ohio State.
Yeah, because they're actually gonna build one of their guys up from a true freshman. Like, Sayan's not going anywhere.
Nope. I think Texas is probably happy with Arch looking at the landscape. Michigan, you have to think the amount of money they spent for Bryce Underwood that they're happy. Outside of that, what's Clemson gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
What's LSU gonna do? That's another thing. Transfer portal's open, and LSU hasn't grabbed any of these guys.
Not yet.
Speaking of LSU, can you just go away? Is that an option? Can I have option D just go away?
I will tell you, there's some Ole Miss fans.
I hope y'all had a shitty day.
Super out of pocket this weekend.
Too. Oh, really? Let's get into this. Ole Miss's coaches are recruiting for LSU?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we're competing for a natty? Mm. We'll go there next. But first, that guy over there, that's the Kahuna with sports.
You ever had a big Kahuna burger?
Coming up next, we'll have Web Gems, everybody's favorite, as we do it every single day at 11:45. A lot to get to in the big nooner, so stick around for that as well. But, you know, the subject, again, I want to point out, I'd love to give a lot of props to one Brandon Sprague for continuing to hammer this about the situation that nobody's talking about. Look, you national media people, you guys got a 24-hour news cycle of stuff you need to fill in. Why the hell we're not talking about this just kind of proves a lot of kind of what the naysayers say of the bias and how they love the drama and, you know, how ESPN, everybody in the world thinks Lane Kiffin is a jerk for what he did to Ole Miss, except for the national media and Danny Meringue. That just means that you're a jerk, Danny.
I mean, come on.
Bot Kettle, what up? No, what I can also be a jerk.
What are we doing here?
I just fake being a nice guy on the air. When I'm off the air, though, then it's full-on jerk mode.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It's called a bit.
Keep that to yourself.
Enter to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 66th annual Portland Boat Show Thursday, January 7th through Sunday, the 11th. Check out the best prices, top brands, and compare hundreds of boats to buy all under one roof at the Portland Expo Center. Enter now at 1051thefan.com or grab 2-for-1 discount coupons at pdxboatshow.com. It looks like some of those assistants from LSU will continue to coach for Ole Miss, most importantly, including Charlie Weiss Jr., who will call the offensive plays for Ole Miss. Now, I think you could argue, and I kind of alluded to this without really trying to say it because I don't know how I feel about it, and I think it's a little disrespect to the talent and brain that is Lane Kiffin. But dare I say Charlie Weiss Jr. being the full-time play caller and kind of the decision maker for offense with Lane out the building, it's a big reason why Ole Miss beat Georgia. You know, I don't want to say Charlie Weiss greater than Lane Kiffin per se, or even Pete Golding greater than Lane Kiffin, but something changed, and it can't just be the distraction. We're going to rise above it. I do think that there were some philosophical ideas that probably shifted when Lane went out the door. So the benefit of having Charlie Weiss Jr. still coach this team during the playoff is astronomical. I would argue having Lane there would still do the same thing. The problem is Charlie Weiss Jr. was in the building at LSU the other day recruiting in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. We talk about antitrust laws. This is basically antitrust.
Corporate espionage.
I mean, who's to say, like, Chambliss, we're working real hard to get your waiver mm-hmm. to play next year. So then that way you could still play next year in case you wanted to play next mm-hmm. year. And then Trinidad Chambliss is the next quarterback at LSU. That's not going to happen.
He says he's staying.
It's already announced that if he does get his waiver to get a medical red shirt and advance a sixth year, which I think he should get due to the situation. If you don't know, he had tonsillitis his sophomore year and basically didn't play. So hopefully he gets that and can play another year. He did say he's coming back. But who's to say, you know, you can't do that with a D lineman or Kayvon Lacy or, you know, a receiver that didn't get a ton of playing time. Mm-hmm. Who's to say Charlie Weiss isn't in there doing it? The fact that the NCAA is not doing anything about this is just wild to me.
I mean, make it local. Will Stein and toss the boy. Like, they aren't doing that?
Exactly. Novastad's in the portal. I guarantee you he is going to Kentucky. The reason he has not said anything is because Will has said, shh. Don't take the focus away, because I don't want people to know I'm recruiting for my other school while coaching.
And here's the thing. Dan Lanning knows.
Of course he does.
Those are discussions that they have.
But I think that's what's so weird about this Ole Miss situation is, like, this is happening everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, North Texas in their bowl game, their coach is already gone.
Yeah.
USF in their bowl game, their coach is already gone. But nobody really cares or is worried, because there's, like, a blind faith to it,
mm-hmm.
to where LSU and Ole Miss are showing you.
It ain't.
There ain't no blind faith, no. And they're getting away with it.
I know we need to put some sort of rails around this in some aspect, but if that's the case, then make the decision. Either all coaches can stay or all coaches go.
I agree. And I think what's interesting, I don't want to stick up for Lane, because even though I like Lane and I've enjoyed the story, the exit from Ole Miss is ugly.
And look, shout out to him for going to the game.
Sure, there's a little Lane in that.
I mean, they didn't let him in the building for them. He had to go as a fan.
But the reality is Ole Miss made this a big deal,
mm-hmm.
while a lot of other schools did not.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Ole Miss to make it a big deal that, no, you can't coach if you leave, but then realizing he took half the staff and kind of double backing.
Well, the staff can stay.
The staff can stay, but Lane, you got to go. That just made this whole
thing weird, right?
Yeah, it just made it so convoluted and what's the word I'm looking here for? Like, not biased, but like, you've got a double standard here. Rules for me, but not for thee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Lane, you want to leave? Well, piss off. Oh, but we need your assistance.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, did Tulane's coach their bowl game? Yes. You know, did James Madison coach their bowl game? Yes. Mm-hmm. Did Memphis or whoever it is that quarterback's transfer or head coach is transferred, they all coached the bowl game for the most part. Jimmy Rogers didn't, but screw you, Jimmy Rogers. And there are situations in which you just can't.
Yeah.
And I get it. Whittingham, you know, I get that. Mm-hmm. Some situations you just can't. If Sherrone Moore got fired, like, you're not doing it.
Yeah.
But I think in situations in which you can, you should have left it. This is just rules for me and not for thee.
And that's...
And it feels very SEC bias.
Well, it is. But it's also, it's I know I said that it needs to be all or none kind of a deal, but because that's the way that the rules have to work. But in reality, that you do have to leave it open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Because every situation is going to be different.
It is case by case.
Yeah.
It really is. And we're seeing that in college football more and more. Like, guys leave and sometimes it's, you know, my coach left.
Look, I hate beating this drum, but we had, you know, Pernetti on, who's the commissioner of the American Conference. And, and you know, off air, he told us, like, look at my coaches. They're here.
Mm-hmm.
They're coaching.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's respect to the conference. Like, it's respect to their teams.
It's not that. It's respect to the coaches.
And
like, hey, you know what? You guys have done well for us. We want you guys leaving is not an affront to us.
Mm-hmm.
You guys leaving and you know, going somewhere else because you're wanted somewhere else and you see that as a bigger profile. Cool. That's awesome. We're going to champion you.
I guarantee you if the Giants back the truck up for Dan Lanning, he says, I'm not leaving until I'm done coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to deal with it. And if that's a problem, kick rocks.
You know, Tosh said that, you know, he had potential job offers
mm-hmm.
where, he wasn't going to be allowed to finish out. And he was like, no, I'm cool. I get it either way.
I do, too. I get it both ways. I think there could just be, as we beat this horse all the time, there could just be a lot of better situations if there were some guardrails up. Whether you agree with the guardrails or not, it needs guardrails. Look, we thought NIL was going to run rampant, did the opposite.
It made
the even playing field.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff might be what you should focus your time and energy on. WebGems is next. Are these new rules, speaking of new rules, are these new rules in the NBA hurting potential all-stars, potential MVPs, and all NBA honors? We'll get to WebGems next. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's WebGems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite WebGems. Do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the big nooner, we will get to some Blazers. They finally released an injury report, which says something. Like, there were words.
It has words.
There were words on it. We'll also slide back into the NFL a little bit as it's Black Monday. Plus, we'll continue our peek at all the teams in the playoffs with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But your WebGems today is presented by the Association. And you kind of put this on our doc the other day of stuff to talk about in the future. Of kind of the NBA major awards taking a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
The Jokic injury, obviously, kind of, I think, put all of us basketball fans on edge a little bit. His hobble to the locker room did not look good.
No. I mean, his knee went backwards.
The fact that it was just a hyperextension was...
Nothing was strained or torn. Like,
was very exciting to hear. And he's out, what? He's got, what, 3 more weeks out on that?
That's when he's being reevaluated.
Oh, don't you scoot me on this thing.
Just telling you. So he's gonna be, look, man, he's a 7-foot, 280-pound dude who's, you know.
A big boy.
He ain't going to be doing much for a month. It's just stone cold chilling.
He's a big-ass boy.
Yeah.
But what this does, you know, in talking about some new rules in the NBA that have happened, what is this, year
three?
Three, yeah. The NBA has put some stuff in place, and, it, you know, they're constantly trying to tackle load management mm-hmm. and tanking, et cetera, et cetera. I feel they're a little bit like baseball was 10 years ago in trying to find ways to curb load management. Mm-hmm. in not maybe the best ways possible.
Sure.
And I'll use this one as an example. I'm curious where you land on it. Your NBA major awards, whether it's MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, we saw this with Wemby last year. Mm-hmm. Mobley deserved a defensive MVP. Yeah. Without a doubt,
if,
he did.
If Victor Wembanyama doesn't exist, Evan Mobley was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if Victor Wembanyama plays three more games, he gets the award. Yeah. So that's what they've added, is that you have to have a minimum of games to play to be considered. Now, this is going to take a real big hit. I saw this over the weekend of what the all-NBA team looks. First mm-hmm. of all, no mention of Denny in everything I saw. Like, I'm not saying he should be, per se, but can he be in the conversation?
I mean, he should be, at bare minimum, kind of last. Him and Lowry in the should kind of be like last guys out just in because of the team's records.
Right.
But by the way, he plays just four games under 500 now.
Hey, look at that. Four out of the last five, I mm-hmm. think. But what was interesting is the names on this list that you're looking at are all guys that basically play the same position. Jalen Brunson, SGA, Jaylen Brown. That it's kind of hurt some of the, when you think of an all-pro team, mm-hmm. you kind of want it to be like the starting five
kind of,
yeah. the NBA of the season. And because of this, you're going to lose out on it because Jokic, he'll be out of the running. Mm-hmm. Wemby's most likely out of the running. LeBron is. Luka. AD is. And Luka's flirting with it. Mm-hmm. Those are, I mean, Luka, Wemby, and Jokic. And say what you want about LeBron. Those are three of the best players in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so they are now out of it. I'm curious, Danny. Where
and then obviously, and Giannis too.
And Giannis. I'm curious where you stand on this. Is it working as a deterrent for load management? Or is it just punishing guys who miss a little bit of time throughout the year?
Well, and the reality is, more often than not, who's going to miss the most games?
Big guys, yeah.
Talking to general managers over the last, I don't know, 3-4 years, the going sentiment is, can I get 60 to 65 games out of my seven-footer?
60 to 65 games? Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it's that much.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
That's legitimate. Like, this is straight from the horse's mouth, almost verbatim. From all of them.
Maybe I live in the Joel Embiid world where I hope for 50, but that's not a big number. Or it's bigger than I thought.
But it's like, can I get that many games out of my big? Because I hate belaboring this point, for the love of God, but if you've not been next to one of these guys and truly understand just how monstrous a human that they are.
I mean, Dame is not very big, and I've stood next to him, and
Dame's Dame's a middle linebacker.
Most of y'all are giant compared to me, but yeah, the boy's big.
Like, Dame is a huge NFL running back.
Yeah.
Like, that's like...
That's the size of these guys.
And you look at him...
I mean, you talk about LeBron as the most freak basketball body we've ever seen outside of Giannis.
I mean, Giannis, right now in basketball, you're talking about, like, heavier guys, like, big guys, it's Joel and Giannis.
Yeah.
You see those guys and you're just like, good God.
I mean, even Shaq.
Oh, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's in another stratosphere, but like... That's the thing is, like, Jokic is huge,
that's
even though he's
boy.
Slimmed down. Mm-hmm. Like, these
even
guys,
Luka,
like,
dude, we forget.
Luka's 270 freaking pounds.
And he's what, 6'6"?
6'8".
6'8"?
Luka's
old guy.
If you're ranking the strongest guys in the NBA, Steven Adams 1, Luka's probably 2.
And Luka, when you watch him on TV, doesn't come across that big.
No, because he's kind of scaled. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the ratio, like, in on NBA court, you know, 6'8 to 6'8", like, oh, he looks a little bit bigger, but... No. You get next to Luka is a truck. And you're just like, goodness gracious. Like, it's always funny, like, Chet walks by. Like, yeah, he's long, but he don't weigh nothing. SGA, yeah, he's long, he don't weigh nothing. Mm-hmm. Then you see Jalen Brunson, who's all of 6 foot tall, but just thick.
Little muscle hamster.
Yeah, I mean, just built like a little, like, Ant Edwards. Big, big dude.
Oh, he might be my prototype body.
Yeah. Like, you just kind of go down the list.
My
like
Aaron Rodgers.
Guys that don't get hurt are usually, and I shouldn't say that, you know, in general, when you're smaller, it's not that you can't get hurt. It's just that the load that you have to bear is less. Mm-hmm. It's honestly what makes a guy like Denny so insane that he's playing 34, 36 minutes a night with that offensive burden, playing that physical, hasn't missed a game.
Yeah, what does he do? He drives to the lane a lot.
He leads the NBA in drives.
Yep, he's working on that mid-range game, but he is driving to the hoop a lot. And to take that kind of wear and tear on your body, that's got to say something.
I mean, then there's a guy like Jamal Murray who misses.
And he tries on the other end.
Yeah.
He might not be the greatest defender in the world.
No.
But, I mean, what's the narrative around Luka right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that his defense has always been questioned, but he got skinnier and his defense still sucks. Mm-hmm.
And Şengün's been banged up, so maybe mm-hmm. he gets, I mean, he's only played 28 games in the season, so he's missed, what, 8 or 9 games to the Rockets?
What's the minimum?
65.
65.
So, like, you know, he's dealing with a with 17 games ankle, missed? Ankle or knee right now.
That might be where I push back on the rule.
Needs to go to 60.
17 games. I mean, let somebody miss 20 games.
Yeah.
20 games is a quarter of the season.
I mean, Anthony but Davis obviously is, you know, perennially
yeah,
injured.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like, but to miss less than a quarter of a season knocks you out, that's brutal. I understand guys that miss half a season.
I mean, Jeremy Grant is basically the front runner for sixth man of the year, and he may not have an option now.
Yeah, but is he going to lose that? Yeah. A sixth man of the year because he missed 17 games? I see what you're trying to do, NBA. I don't know if it's working, though.
I think it's the right way to go about it, but maybe it needs to be adjusted slightly. But here's what will happen.
Conceptually, I like it.
But then the teams will go, oh, we got a few more games to play with. We can rest somebody tonight.
It'll sure. Happen. I mean, everything's going to get manipulated yeah. no matter what. You
and
know,
that's the problem with putting like the hard guardrails on stuff. Teams will manipulate. And for all of the, I always want to mention this. All the times you hear about, you know, some version of, well, this player sits out this, like with the exception of Kawhi Leonard, it's front offices.
Yeah.
It's front offices that are saying guys want to play.
Sure.
Kawhi's a very different case.
Oh, if you're curious about load management, I present to you Jason Tatum, Tyrese Halliburton, and Damian Lillard next year.
They're dying to get on the floor. Tatum's legitimately trying to make a comeback this year.
They are dying to get on the floor, and those front offices, they will play under 57 games. Mm-hmm. They will. Or under 65 games. They absolutely will next year.
They're baby it.
Mm-hmm. That I understand.
Yeah.
That I get. And the Kawhi, yeah, he's in his own world right now. But it needs tweaking. It needs tweaking for me. Let's stick in the association, but we'll go to your Portland Trail Blazers. Get your thoughts in. A new information released. Or is it new? But hey, at least they're saying something. Loaded Big Nooner next. 105.1 The Fan and 1080 AM.